Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 1. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on thankfulness, being thankful. And in 1 Chronicles 16:1 it says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God." Now, the ark, in the context here, is the ark was lost in battle many, many years prior. And then even after it was returned, it was in the land of Judah for a while, right? So the Philistines had captured it in battle. While it was in Philistine possession, God did all kinds of crazy things to, like, make it so the Philistines didn't want it anymore. So there were lots of hemorrhoids involved, if you remember. And they gave back the ark. But it lived in Judah for a little while. And now it was finally back in its proper place in Israel. Right? And so that's the context. They brought it back to Israel. In verse 2, "And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." Right? And so they brought all the people together and they had a celebration, right? And it's not unlike what we do around this time of year, right? They all gathered together. They all got some nice food, some nice drink together. And they were just mindful of what God had done for them. And they were thankful. And in verse 4, it says that David appointed certain of the Levites, right? And that was the priestly line. And their purpose was to thank and to praise God, right? He, like, made sure that there were people appointed for that purpose. In verse 7, it says, "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." So David provides, you know, some of these guys, the Levitical fellas, a psalm of thanksgiving. He hands it over to them. And it says in verse 8, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face or his presence continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Right? And so David gathered all of the people. Right? He dealt to every one of Israel in verse 3, man and woman. So he gathered them all together. He wanted to celebrate the return of the ark and be thankful for what God had done for them. He wanted the people to be there and to participate in the thanking of God, in the praising of God, in the seeking of God, and to remember God, right? And that's all part of being thankful, is to remember what God's done for you, to praise him, to thank him, and to continue to seek him. Go to Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. And so it was a big deal. Nehemiah It was a big deal to God that the people were instructed to be thankful. And it was a big deal to David to make sure that the people understood that. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, now this is about 500 years after the reign of King David, so about 500 years later, it says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps." Right? So around 500 years after the reign of King David, this is the Israelites had been taken into Babylonian captivity, right? Jerusalem was destroyed, and they're eventually let go, and Nehemiah wants to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, right? And so he gets a bunch of people together, he gets the resources that he needs, and they rebuild the wall. And when it was all said and done, he called the Levites out from all their places, again, to bring the people together to be thankful, right? To be thankful. Ezra had just reintroduced God's word to the people of Israel, right? When they were in captivity, it was a dark time, and they had lost most of that. So Ezra, you know, brings people back to God's word, reintroduces God's word to them. Nehemiah rebuilds the wall around Jerusalem. And it all culminates in this, that they're all gathered together to be thankful at what God had done for them. In verse 31, it says, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof went one on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate." And he lists a bunch of people. And then verse 38, "And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them. And the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the outer tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall." Verse 40, "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me." Verse 43, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off." Right? There was great celebration. The whole city was celebrating and rejoicing. And all of that was centered around their thankfulness for what God had done for them. Right? The people were just so thankful that they knew God's word again, that the walls were built up around the city again, that they had a place again, and they were just so thankful that they joyed and rejoiced together, right? And that's a big takeaway. Thankfulness and joy are linked together, right? They're kind of lead from each other. When you take time to be mindful of what God's done for you, what you have to be thankful for, it leads to joy and happiness. Right? The quickest way to get happy, again, if you're not feeling good, if you're feeling sad, you're feeling down, the quickest way to get happy again is to remember all that you have to be thankful for, right? Because it helps change your mind. Go to Psalm 100. And I thought it was really cool that in both of those instances, that people were brought in just to give thanks for the express purpose to praise God and to give thanks, right? That it was just that important that God got the glory, that they praised him. Psalm 100. We know this psalm, we sometimes sing it, but this is a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves." Right? God has made us what we are, You know, we didn't do it on our own. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Right? And so this is just one of many, many examples of Psalms, right, that are recorded in the Bible that God had David write by revelation of praising him, of being thankful for what God has done. Right? That it's not about who we are, it's about who God made us to be. And we can be thankful for that. Go to Daniel chapter 2. There's over 130 occurrences of the word thank, thankful, thanksgiving, thanks in the Bible. Right? It's not just a word that shows up once or twice. It's all over the place. It's very important to God that we recognize what he's done for us. It's very important to our well-being that we're thankful and that we take that time out to remember and praise God. Daniel 2, verse 19, it says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Right? And the context here, if you remember, is that Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king, and he dreamed a dream, but then he forgot the dream. But it was a really troubling dream. Right? He was very disturbed by what he dreamed, but he couldn't remember what he dreamed. And so he called all these Chaldean wise men in and all these sorcerers and said, "Somebody tell me what this dream means." And they said, "Sure, we'll tell you. What did you dream?" And he said, "I don't know. Tell me the dream and what it means." And they were like, "Well, that's a whole different matter. We can't tell you the dream. You're the one who dreamed the dream." And he got really mad because no one could tell him. And so he had ordered all of the wise men in the land to be killed, which meant that Daniel was going to be killed, him and his friends, because they were counted for wise men. So Daniel prayed, and God showed him, right? Verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." So God showed him. Then Daniel blessed God, blessed the God of heaven. He was very thankful. Verse 20, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Right? And so Daniel recognized where his wisdom and his might came from. Right? And he was thankful for it. Verse 23 again, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might." Right? It wasn't that Daniel was a smart or mighty man all on his own. It was that God made him that way. And he was thankful for it. Because if God didn't give him the answer, well, that was going to be the end of him and his friends. And Daniel remembered this and he recognized this. Go to chapter 6, verse 7. And what's really cool about this is what we'll see in verse 7 here. It says, "All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, except for thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." right? So we remember this record too, right? They made a decree that if anybody asked anything, they prayed to God or anybody else, that they were going to be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, never does not change. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, after this became a law, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he used to do, just like he used to do, right? And so there's this law that goes out that says, if you pray to anybody else, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. But Daniel recognized, remember, he recognized where his wisdom and his might came from, right? And an attitude of thankfulness comes from being mindful and remembering what God has done for you, right? Daniel didn't forget what God did for him. He remembered that. And because he remembered that, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of whatever the law was or whatever it was going to be that was contrary to God's word. He was just going to keep doing what he knew he should do according to God's word, right? So that in turn builds confidence, right? It builds confidence and trust and believing in God. So if we remember what God has done for us, if we're mindful of that, that's what builds our confidence in God, right? If God did something really great for you and you forgot all about it, you might not be that confident in God. But if you go back and you remember, oh yeah, remember when God did that for me? Remember he took care of that for me? Remember that time that I needed that and he took care of that for me? That's what builds your confidence in God, because you just keep looking back and going, oh yeah, God always takes care of this for me. That situation wasn't fun. I don't remember that being particularly pleasant, but God took care of it for me, right? And so that's what helps to build our believing in God. You stand fast in that believing and that confidence with God, no matter what the circumstance was, right? And this wasn't a great circumstance for Daniel, right? He had a tough choice. Keep praying to God like he knew he should, or end up in the lion's den, right? And we know what happened. He ended up in the lion's den, and God took care of him and honored that. Go to Romans chapter 1. But he didn't back down because he had that confidence in God. He knew God would take care of him. Right? But he had that confidence because he remembered and he was thankful. And he continually prayed and gave thanks to God every day, just like he always did. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. So Paul writes this by revelation. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, right? So Paul was thankful for those who believed and took a stand for God, right? That their faith, their believing was spoken of throughout the whole world. People knew who these people were because of their believing. And Paul was thankful for that. He prayed for them and thanked God. Thanking God for stuff is a vital part of prayer, right? We can ask God for stuff. We can make intercession, right? But we can also thank God for stuff when we pray. And Paul was thankful for their lives and for their believing, right? And just a bit further, we're going to see how thankfulness is an integral part of our walk with God, right? In verse 16, it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Right? Paul wasn't ashamed of God's word. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel he was preaching, because he knew that it was the only thing that saved men. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness, right? Within that is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and that manifest in is apparent among them. That which may be known of God is apparent among them. It's apparent among the people who work in unrighteousness and who don't believe. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Right? And what he's basically saying is, you know, if people just look around at the earth that they live on and all that God created, right, it's evident that there is a God. It's obvious that there's a God up there. Right? The things that the invisible things from creation, like we might not be able to see God as spirit, but we can see what he created, right? Those things are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, which is us and the animals, right? We all understand the world we live in, right? It's obvious to us. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, right? Even though they see all this stuff around them and it's obvious, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. So you see how the glorying and the thankfulness are tied together, right? It doesn't just say, you know, they didn't glorify God. They weren't even thankful, right? When you look around at all that God's provided for us, this beautiful planet that we live on, the life that we get to live, right? How can you not be thankful? They were neither thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They thought they were so smart. They thought they all had it all figured out, right? Like all the people who believe in all the science today think they have it all figured out. That there's no God because there's an explanation for all of it. But those people have become fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. All right, so those who didn't recognize it are just fools, and they attribute it to man, or they make gods out of animals or whatever it is. All right, those were the things that they were worshiping instead, or they were worshiping men, because they thought they had it all figured out, right? But it all goes back to this idea of, you know, thankfulness, of just not being thankful for what God had given to them and had blessed them with. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And throughout the church epistles, I mean, it's all over the place. We're reminded over and over again to be thankful. We'll just look at a couple, but if you look up the word thanks or thankful in the church epistles, there's so much to be thankful for. 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be unto God, which always, or who always, causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Right? Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Right? Always causes us to. If there's a situation that you need to overcome, God will help you to triumph in it. Right? And we can be thankful for that. Because with God, there is a way out. Chapter 9, verse 15. He always causes us to triumph. Chapter 9, verse 15. It says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, his indescribable gift, right? And the context of this chapter is about giving, right? It's a bunch of doctrine about how to give. And it caps off that teaching and that doctrine by reminding us what God gave to us, his unspeakable gift, which is Holy Spirit, right? We're thankful for that Holy Spirit that he's freely given to us. Didn't cost us anything. It's indescribable just how amazing that gift is, right? But thanks be to God for that. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. So we are thankful for the Holy Spirit that God gave us, for the manifestations that we can operate, for the fellowship that we can have with God. Right, if you're feeling bummy, you can always remember, I'm going to heaven. Got eternal life. Got Holy Spirit in me. God sees me as perfect. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So we can be thankful for the hope. Right? We have the victory over death. Jesus Christ is coming back, and one day we're going to get up. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right? We can be thankful for the hope. That's another tool in our toolbox for remaining steadfast on God's word. Right? When stuff gets tough, we can be reminded that Jesus Christ is coming back. Right? That's an announcement we hear every week. Right? And if he comes back while we're alive in here, great. And if he doesn't, we know we're getting up. Right? But we have that hope and we can be thankful for that. And we'll close in Ephesians 5, verse 15. So we have so much to be thankful for. And it's evident that God wants us to remember him, right? It says to forget not all his benefits. Right? He wants us to be mindful of what he's accomplished for us, what he's done for us, because he knows it's going to make us happy. He knows it's going to give us peace. He knows that we'll have joy and rejoicing as we do that. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, cautiously, accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. They're full of labors and pains and annoyances. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And we know that Ephesians is just practical doctrine for how we're supposed to live our lives. Right? And so one way that we can walk as wise people, right, as wise people, is to praise God, to sing in our hearts, to make melody unto him, and in all things, always, be thankful, right? Always keep in mind what God has done for you and be thankful for that, right? Because then you're going to be so blessed right? God, you'll just remember all the great things that God has done for you, and it'll build that confidence in God. It'll build your believing, and you'll get real blessed.